I got something better than stuff that's going to disappear. I got the Lord in my heart. I'm delighting in the Lord. And as I delight in the Lord, the more of him I get. The more you delight yourself in the Lord, the more of himself he will give to you.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Christ is Our Spiritual Rock, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today's sermon is Christ is Our Spiritual Rock. This is the rock that when you're in the ocean of pain and suffering, this rock will not weigh you down. This rock will not sink you, amen? But this rock will stop the waves of pain and suffering from crashing upon you, amen? Because he is our spiritual rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4, I'm reading out of the ESV today. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. We pray, Lord, that your presence will fill this house in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Let's read that one more time. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. How do we drink from Christ? We put our faith in him. We read our Bible. We pray. Amen. And we obey. Amen. Listen to this. The word rock is an analogy that describes the steadfastness of Christ. He's not changing. We may feel different in the morning after church. We might have different feelings about our salvation, but Jesus isn't changing. Amen? He gives us forgiveness through the sacrificial work that he done on the cross and the resurrection. That's not going to change. That's not going to change because how you feel tomorrow. That's not going to change because of your trial and tribulation next week. He's your spiritual rock. And no matter what you go through, it's not phasing him. You can stand firm with Christ. Praise God. It describes his strength, endurance, power, and unchanging love for us all. How many of you guys know that Jesus is stronger than anything that could come up against you? There's nothing that can get through your Jesus. Not even yourself. Not even you can overpower Christ. Not even your sin is stronger than Jesus. And what about his endurance? He endured the cross. He could have got off of it at any time. He could have stopped it. He had the power to wipe out his enemies, but he endured the suffering for our sakes. Praise God. What about power? Jesus has all the power, all the authority the Father has turned over to the Son. Amen. So whenever you need something, you call upon the rock and you've got the power of Christ behind you. What about unchanging love? You know, some days, you may not feel like you're a very lovable person, right? Maybe you woke up in a bad mood and you feel as if you don't want to love anybody and they shouldn't be loving you. But Jesus doesn't look at our moods. He looks at our hearts. And if we have a heart for Jesus, he's got an unchanging love for us all. Now, I know sometimes we do wake up in the morning and we feel that nobody loves us. And nobody cares. Maybe we've even done some things that we feel that we deserve not to be loved about, right? But Jesus is very forgiving, and his love is unchanging for us all. And that's why he's our spiritual rock. Because even when we don't deserve it, and we don't deserve it, he loves us. He saves us. He cares for us. That's why we praise him in the house. Amen. So let's look at this rock, the rock of redemption. In 2 Samuel 22:47, it says, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation." I love this verse because it describes Christ as the rock of salvation, of redemption. There's nothing I can do to get out of the hands of Jesus once I'm in it. Once I am being cared for, and once I have been saved, Christ has me. He is my rock. I'm safe in his hands. I don't have to worry about the enemy's lies anymore. I don't have to worry about going to hell anymore. I have been redeemed, and I have the rock to keep me redeemed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Dictionary.com defines redemption as follows: an act of redeeming or atoning for a fault or mistake, or the state of being redeemed. Man, I got a lot of faults. Thank God that he sent Jesus to take them. Praise God. I got a lot of faults. I don't know about you guys, but I got a lot of faults. Or atoning for a mistake. How many of you made a mistake? I make mistakes as soon as I wake up in the morning. I'm making mistakes in my dreams. Praise God. He atoned for that. Your unintentional sins, he's got them covered. Praise the Lord. Or the state of being redeemed. Praise God. Listen to this. It also means deliverance or rescue. Christ rescued me out of my sin. How many of you know that when you're lost in sin, you need to be rescued? Somebody needs to save you. And how many of you know that when you're lost in your sin, before salvation comes, you're not planning your own rescue? You're not even thinking about getting yourself out. You don't even know you need to be rescued. Christ knows it. And he comes along and he rescues you. Deliverance. He delivers you. Praise God. Theology. Deliverance from sin or salvation. That's what that word means. An atonement for guilt. I'm guilty. How many of you guys are guilty? But I'm not guilty anymore. Jesus took my guilt. He atoned for it. So I don't have to feel the condemnation that the devil tries to place on me when he says, I'm not good enough to be a pastor. When he says, I'm not good enough to be a Christian. When he says, I'm not good enough to pray to God. When he says, I'm not good enough to read the word of God. When he says, I'm not good enough to do good works. I say, wait a minute. You must be talking about yourself. You're the guilty one. I have been atoned for. Amen. Somebody say amen. Praise God, like you mean it. Purchased or repurchased as of something sold. We were bought with a price. What was that price? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus was the price that we were purchased for. That's a heavy price, isn't it? We're expensive people, aren't we? We cost a lot of stuff, don't we? God traded everything he had to buy us out of sin. Praise God and thank him for it. Christ is the door by which we enter into salvation. My good works don't mean nothing to God. He could do better than me anyways. Amen. My good intentions don't mean nothing either. Lots of good ideas I have in my head. Seldom can I follow through with them. But Christ is the door by which we enter into salvation. You can't get there by being a good person. You can't get there by saying good things. You can't get there by donating to charities. You can't get there by showing up to church on time. You can't get there by serving church. You get there by Jesus Christ, by believing that he died for your sins, that he was resurrected on the third day, and that he is seated at the right hand of God. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else." Say no one else. No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. God only gave one name. Jesus. That's it. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have the door to get to God. If you don't have Jesus, you can't even come in the name of the Father. You have no authority. You have to come in the name of Jesus because all authority has been given over to him. John 10:7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm a sheep. You're a sheep. We're sheep. Somebody needs to lead sheep. Sheep are not the brightest animals on the planet. Amen. We have to be led. We have to be instructed. We have to be cared for. And sheep have a lot of enemy. Lamb chops taste pretty good. And Satan and his dominions, well, they like sheep meat. But we got the rock of our salvation, right? We got our spiritual rock, and he is the door. When we repent of our sins and believe unto salvation through Jesus Christ, everything becomes new. We are changed. But Pastor, why do I still have these feelings in me that don't belong? Why do I have these words that come out of me, Pastor, that shouldn't come out? Why do I do these things, oh, Pastor, if I've been changed? There's a change happening within inside of each and every Christian. God, he's changing us. He's working on us from the inside out. And the more of us that submit to what he's doing in our lives, the more we feel it outwardly. The more we show it outwardly. We need more time with God. The more time you spend with God in submission to his word, in obedience to his word, in study of his word, in prayer, in fellowship, that's where you get the changes. But yes, we are changed in the spiritual sense right away. Immediately, we are changed because we are redeemed when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. But the outward change comes later in stages. I'm still maturing in Christ. I'm sure many of you are maturing in Christ. None of us have arrived yet. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. He makes us into a new person. He makes us into a new spiritual being. He brings us into fellowship with God the Father. And that old stuff, that old person, gone, dead and buried. Dead and buried. But now listen. Now listen to me. Sometimes our dead self, the flesh, wants to act up after God has already put it to rest. So that doesn't mean that your flesh won't cry out and say, hey, wait a minute. I might be dead, but I'm still active. We have to get a hold of that, don't we? We have to make it submit to the Spirit. Amen. Does anybody follow what I'm saying? Your flesh is dead and buried to God. But you got to still keep it under control because it can be a little touchy-feely. But the Spirit, if you submit to it, will overcome the flesh. When we make a total commitment to Christ, the Holy Spirit cleanses us. Everybody say cleanse. Cleanses us. This is part of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. See, we're being cleansed spiritually. And the more that we submit and commit to Christ, the more the flesh submits. Amen. That's why you have some Christians that ain't acting so holy. And then you have some other Christians that they're submitting. Amen. Maturing. Maturing. And you know, the funny thing about it is that maturity in Christ, it really isn't up to God. Did you know that? It's up to the individual, free will. He's not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. You can hinder your own maturity in Christ. You could say, I'm not picking up my Bible today. You could say, I'm not coming to church this Sunday. You could say all of those things, and you can do all of those things. But if you don't, and you submit instead, you're going to have some redemptive work continuing on in your soul. Praise God. Psalms 119:105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The rock of restoration. Revelation 21:5 says, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Now, when you come out of a life of sin, you might still feel dirty even though Jesus cleansed you. I said feel. I didn't say you would be. There are many Christians today who still believe that they cannot be forgiven for the things they did in their past. That somehow, some way, they need to be punished for it. That somehow, some way, they're not worthy to be a disciple of Jesus. I just done too much in my life. God truly couldn't be forgiving me for all of that stuff. They might believe that they're going to heaven when they die. They may believe that. But they don't believe that they can have a joyous life now, that God can transform them into something new, something that he can use. Listen, sin robs mankind of many things. Sin is a thief. Most importantly, it robs us of fellowship with God. Sin robs us from fellowship with God. When we start to sin, we start to pull away from God. We start to lose his presence. We start to lose his power in our life. Jesus Christ restores our relationship with God. He makes it new. People have fallen away from God, but through Christ, we can come back to him. We can have a new relationship through Jesus Christ. One that works this time. If we want it to work. If we want to work for him. Amen. Christ is the Christian's rest. When we become exhausted by the hurry and scurry of our busy lives, we can find healing and restoration through prayer and the promises found in his word. I have been exhausted. I've been on my last leg, and I picked up the word and I said a couple of words to the Lord. I prayed, and you know what? I noticed that the more I spend time with him, the more rested I feel. He can restore you. He can give you strength to carry on. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen, he was speaking to the Jews. This is Jesus speaking to the Jews. And you know what? He could be speaking to some of us today. A lot of us want to continue doing works to get approval from God. He's saying, look, come to me and I'll give you rest from your works. You won't have to work for your salvation through me. I've done it all for you. I am the atoner. I am the workman approved by God. I will give you rest. Why are we toiling so hard to please God when faith is the only thing that pleases him? Doesn't the Bible say that by faith we please God, not by works? We don't have to work for it. Jesus said the work that we have to do is to believe on the one he sent, right? That's an easy job if you ask me. But we can make it hard, can't we? We could put a whole bunch of rules and regulations on and make it into a religion, right? Can't we? We shouldn't do that. No, we should come to him, all of us who are laboring and who are heavy with laden, and he will give us rest. Christ restores our strength in time of need. He is the rock of restoration to those who trust in him completely. I'm going to tell you guys, if you ever find yourself in despair, you will find yourself looking at something in your life that is not Jesus. Because when you are focused on the rock, you will be steadfast. You will be unshaken. You will be unafraid. You will be at peace. But when you find yourself looking at troubles in life, when you find yourself looking at people, when you find yourself looking at yourself, when you find yourself looking at things, you're not going to have rest. You're not going to have restoration. You're going to have worry, anxiety, fear. Those things will come upon you when you don't focus on Jesus Christ. Psalms 23:3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How many of you guys know that Jesus got his name on you? And he's not going to mess his name up because of something that you did or because something that somebody else is doing to you. What would be said if God let you fall? Oh, I saw that Christian and their enemies just took them over. They were obeying the word of God. They were trusting in the word of God. They were praying to the Lord, and he let them down. How would that make him look? How would that make him look? It'd make him look horrible. But see, there's more to it than that. God's got his name on all of us because he's got his love upon all of us. He cares about us, and that's why he's going to restore us. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." We're his witnesses, praise God. We're his witnesses, we're not his lawyers. And if we're his witnesses, we're going to have a testimony. And if we're going to have a testimony, we're going to have something that he delivered us from. And that would be sin, amen? The rock of resolution, Psalm 42 says, "He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." That rock in the Old Testament was Jesus Christ. God already had a plan of redemption even when the psalmist wrote this. God will take you out of a pit if you find yourself in one. God will lift you up and place you on the rock if you want him to, if you trust him to, if you surrender yourself to him for him to do it. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about a swimmer. And they said that sometimes people who are in trouble, they'll be swimming along, and they get into trouble, and a lifeguard comes out and tries to save them, and they try to push you down with them. They don't mean to, but they're not trusting the lifeguard. He's reaching out to them, and they're kicking and waving their hands so frantically, sometimes they can take the lifeguard with them. We got to stop fighting God. We got to start remembering that we're in church for a reason. We're here for a reason, to learn about the word of God, to fellowship with one another, to obey the word of God, so that we may become witnesses for him. Many people are undependable. How many of you guys know that people are undependable? And somebody's got two hands up. They are up and down, in and out. You never know where to find them. Christ wants us to be established. Listen, Christ is dependable. 1 Peter 5:10, "And after you have suffered a little while," oh, pastor, suffer? Wait a minute, I'm a Christian, we don't suffer. But the Bible says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace," everybody say the God of all grace. The God of all grace. Oh, I'm sorry, does that say some grace? Some grace. A little bit of grace. Just a tiny bit of grace. Grace that will run out soon. All grace? Wow. That's pretty powerful. The God of all grace, who has what? Called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Look, I don't like it when people tell me they found God. I wasn't looking for God, and I know you aren't looking for him either. He calls us. He finds us. God finds us. He's the one that got me in the church. He's the one that called me to be a pastor. I didn't go up to him and say, "Hey, how you doing, God? Been looking for you for a while. Glad I found you." No. No, not true. Will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Man, we got people today that want to establish themselves. We got people today that want to restore themselves. I'll go to church when I'm a better person. Ain't going to happen without Jesus first. When we give God first place in our lives and trust in him implicitly, he enables us to make the right choices. Without Jesus, you're not going to make the right choices. Without Jesus, you're going to yell at people you shouldn't be yelling at. Without Jesus, you're going to be cheating people you shouldn't cheat. Without Jesus, you're going to be hating people you shouldn't hate. Without Jesus, you're going to be making the mistakes you should not make. When we are determined to live for Christ, he establishes our lives and keeps us from falling. Keeps us from falling. I don't want to fall. I know I make mistakes still. I know I still make mistakes. And I know that sometimes I stumble. But thanks be to God that when I catch myself doing those things and I run to Jesus, his arms are open for me to catch me. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, and I love this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is where God should be. Not your paycheck, not your cars, not your houses, not your materialistic things. Right here is where God needs to be, okay? And do not lean on your own understanding. See, we like to imagine things, especially when trouble comes our way. What if? What, you know, how many of you guys know that we're all fortune tellers when trouble comes? Because we just start imagining all kinds of things, don't we? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? Oh, but if it does happen, then I'm going to do this. And then we go through a whole scenario like we're writing history before it happens. Because we're leaning on our own understanding. Don't let your imaginations run wild. What does that mean? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Give him glory. That's how you acknowledge him. When you acknowledge him, he'll give you direction, right? All right, listen to this. Last point, the rock of rejoicing. Romans 5, verses 1 and 4. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, what justifies us? Faith in Jesus, right? Justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that it takes Jesus to be the bridge to get to God? I'm telling you, before you have Jesus, you can't even talk to God. He won't listen to you. You have no authority even to invoke the Father's name because you don't have Jesus. But if you got Jesus, you have what? Peace with God. Before Jesus, you're his enemy. Did you know that? He's at odds with you. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible teaches. But through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now listen. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Listen what it says. Through him, through Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access by faith. Access to his grace. Without Jesus Christ, you don't have an argument in front of God. You don't obtain it without Jesus. You can't stand in front of God because you are filled with sin and you have not been atoned for. Praise God. That's why he's our rock. Now listen to this. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. He's calling people who will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, who will be developed by the Holy Spirit, who will become rocks, and I mean that with a little R, for people who need to be lifted up. When we're Christians, we're to be there for other people. We're to have that character. We're to have that endurance. We're to have that hope, not just for our own selfish needs, but so that we can serve other people. Praise God. He's trying to make us into the image of who? Jesus. How can we look like Jesus when we're serving ourselves? How can we look like Jesus when we don't make Jesus our rock? If he's our rock, it'll show in our lives. Some Christians, they mar their testimony by wearing long and happy faces. They fail Christ. For he expects us to witness and work for him joyfully here on earth. What else? How else is God going to get the glory if we're moping around sad serving him? But Christians can mar their testimony by wearing long and happy faces. Christians who are forgiven, cleansed, and on their way to heaven should be the happiest people on earth. Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Man, this thing used to fool me, this verse. I used to say, woo, if I just delight myself in God, I'll get some really cool stuff from him. That's baby Christian talking right there. What I didn't realize, it's a trick verse. Because here's the thing. If I'm delighting myself in the Lord, then he will be the desire of my heart and he will give himself to me. So I win. I got something better than stuff that's going to disappear. I got the Lord in my heart. I'm delighting in the Lord. And as I delight in the Lord, the more of him I get. The more you delight yourself in the Lord, the more of himself he will give to you. As you spend more time with God, He will trust more of Himself to you. He will give more of Himself to you, just like you will with other people. You know there's things about you inside of you that if you told a complete stranger about some of the crazy stuff you do and they don't know you, they'll think, man, you're out of your mind. I gotta run from this guy. But if they get to know you, they'll understand why you do some of the things that you do. Now, you know, when we first come to God, we come to Jesus, if He told us everything in Revelation of His Word, we couldn't handle it all because we don't understand the full picture. But as we mature in Him, we get a better picture of who He is and how He works and why He does things. Well, that doesn't mean we get all the answers. But as we delight ourselves, He gives us more of Himself to us. Amen. And He becomes the desire of our heart. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, He becomes the very desire of our hearts. And He will give Himself to us. In conclusion, I want to say, if anything besides Jesus is your rock, then your rock is movable. And if your rock is movable, you're going to go wherever it goes because you're holding on to it. You guys get that? If your rock is movable, then you're going to go wherever that rock goes because you're attached to that rock. Only Christ is the unmovable spiritual rock. If Christ is our rock of rejoicing here and now, then we shall also rejoice with Him in the life to come, for He is the rock of ages. With this, I want to say this. We're going to be spending the rest of eternity with Jesus Christ. And if we're not wanting that now, we have to ask ourselves, what are we putting our faith in? Because if He's not the desire of our hearts right now, if He's not the thing pouring out of our mouths right now, if He is not the redemptive work that we show other people, what is? What is our rock? What is your rock today? Is Jesus your spiritual rock, or is there something in your way, a religion, an item, even a person, a relationship, a thing, an it? If it's not Jesus Christ, that rock will move one day. And when it moves, it will carry you wherever it's going. And if it's going to a bad place, which most rocks that are not Jesus go, you could be devoured by that rock. Rocks are heavy. They're overbearing. They're a weight to carry. What rock are you carrying today? What rock are you clinging to? That's my question. Praise God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.